It's hour number two of On the Air on this Wednesday, June the 9th, 2021. Anniversary Eve. Don't forget the 7th anniversary of WWGH Radio special On the Air party tomorrow, 7:15 to 9 p.m. Supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030 and the L&P Cake Shop. Telephone number 740-382-1991. In studio tomorrow night, myself, Angie Evers, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Adam Lepp, Linda Sims, Pastor Whitaker, Nate Redman, Glenn Coble, and Pastor Craig. Guest stars, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, Bobby Ray the Kazoo Man, the man with golden voice, Ted Williams. I know Jeannie Evers will be here, Mrs. Redman, Nate's wife will be here, and maybe some other odds and ends as the night goes on. It's going to be a lot of fun. 740-383-9944, the only one of two times a year the whole station family gets together, and it'll be tomorrow night. Looking forward to that quite a bit, as everybody is. And one of our listeners, Linda, emailed us during the break there that Dr. Vanderbilt is a good spokesperson for Ohio.
I was wondering if she means Ann Vanderbilt, who is a geriatric medicine doctor up at Cleveland Clinic. She didn't say her first name, did she?
I don't think so.
That's interesting. If that's her, she's in geriatric medicine, and that would stand to reason that she would know more about COVID because we've had so much death in the older group.
Do want to mention, too, that your program with Dr. Feynman will be on next hour, 12 to 1. We've also got Offbeat News and Trivia, Nate Redman, 4 to 5 today, Trinity Baptist Church, 6 to 7, and tomorrow will be the 7th anniversary of my program, Now, tomorrow morning, 8 to 10. It's going to be a special guest program. We've got some special guests, and it will be the, I think, 3,670th hour of broadcasting.
Wow. So you're building an audience to come in and listen to me tomorrow.
You want to listen tomorrow from 8 to 10. We've got some big guests who I'm not going to advertise. I'm not going to name. But from 8 to 10, you'll want to listen tomorrow. Big anniversary show.
Well, and I'm glad that you're building an audience for me, because tomorrow is one of those days I have absolutely nothing planned.
Well, I hear you're going to do, I'm not going to give it away, but I hear you're going to do something that's very popular on one of my shows.
Oh, I don't mind giving it away. We might do a little bit of the family feud
tomorrow from 10 to noon, so that'll be fun.
I'm not sure. I have been trying to get Mike Larson to come on and talk about that comedy show that he's doing up that way. Anyway, and also talk about politics, because he's very good at politics. But haven't heard back from him yet, so my backup plan is to do Family Feud. You seem to have such a good audience for that.
Well, it's a fun. You know what I think it is? I think it, unlike trivia, anybody can guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I've got to find out where to go. I assume I can just go to Family Feud.
I imagine you'd be able to find some categories.
Yeah.
But some of them are really off, though.
Really?
Yeah, they're very odd questions.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where they come from.
When I do the trivia stuff, I usually go in and I type in general knowledge trivia. And that's usually fairly simple, and I don't really make people call in. I don't ask them to call in because we do have a 30-second delay, and I don't know. But I will ask them to call in, obviously, if I'm going to do Family Feud.
When you 30 seconds is longer than you think.
Yeah, it is longer than you think.
You know what's fascinating? I was telling you last week, I think, a little bit, that I've been getting into Herbert Hoover. Lately. And I did a little more of that in the last week. And what has fascinated me about Herbert Hoover is that he, you know, clearly he was not a good Depression leader.
No.
Clearly.
No.
Because he believed that the country could pick itself up.
Yeah, he did.
And he believed that till the day he left office. But with a big losing margin to Franklin Roosevelt. But he also won the first time by a large margin. He built the Department of Commerce, basically himself, into what it is today. And he gave food, I believe it was to Belgium, is how he became a hero and a national person.
But that was at a time when there was a great deal of positive thinking in the United States.
Right, but Herbert Hoover was not a dumb man. Lived till 90. He wrote books constantly. Matter of fact, there's a book that's, I would love to read this, where he critiqued Franklin Roosevelt.
Really?
Which is apparently in a safe at the Hoover Library. But, because his philosophy on government is the 180 degrees from Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt believed the government had to intervene. Herbert Hoover believed you never intervene.
Well, I wonder if Roosevelt would have believed that had the situation not been what it was when he took over.
I don't know. But the thing about Hoover that I find fascinating is whether or not he was right or not. And most people would say he was wrong because Roosevelt did help with the Depression. The war helped that a little bit, too.
He did.
But,
later.
Yeah. But I believe Hoover believed till the day he died that he was right, even though the problem clearly was fixed under his successor. But he hated him. Hated. You know, apparently, and I just read this recently, when Roosevelt came to Washington to... you know, the day it was switching, mm-hmm. in March of whatever it was,
yeah, it was
28.
Yeah.
So he comes in, and they spoke one word to each other.
Hi.
And they rode in the same car during down to the...
What was the word you had to tell us?
Which I think Hoover or Roosevelt said something to Hoover about the weather or something. But it was...
Really?
Yeah, Hoover would not talk to him.
Well, now, Roosevelt... Like Hoover, was a man of privilege. He was brought up with lots of money. I'm shocked that he actually went the progressive way, having been brought up in money.
I think it was a polio.
It might have had something to do with it, yeah.
I think maybe, it gave him an empathy.
Yeah, maybe it did give him empathy, yeah.
But there were a lot of empathetic Republicans at that time. Well, Harding was one of them.
Yeah.
Created the VA.
Yeah.
You know, so a little different in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Nixon created the EPA.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I'd like to listen to somebody who could explain why the Republican Party went from one side to the other, and the Democrats went from the other side back to the, you know, they've
votes.
Kind of flipped around.
Votes.
Yeah.
Nixon. It was Nixon. Well, two things happened in my opinion, and anybody can critique this because I think it all does come down to opinion. Two things happened in the 1960s, I think, that caused the problem you're talking about. Number one was Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act, and he knew it. He said this will cost the Democrats the South for years, and it did. Mm-hmm. And it still does for the most part.
Right.
And Nixon made a deal with Strom Thurmond to... go the way he wanted if he could get elected, because Nixon felt like he was pretty well pushed out of politics by John. And you know what? I think that was strictly his hatred for John Kennedy, because he feels Kennedy's father bought him the election, and he very well might have.
Yeah, he may have.
He very well might have. And also the fact that I just don't think that Nixon, he's one of those guys who I think was an absolute pragmatist. He just, mm-hmm. what's popular?
Mm-hmm.
What's popular? What might work?
Well, my father was and mother were both dyed-in-wool Republicans. And I remember my father discussing at the dinner table how Kennedy's father was buying him the... he was very much against Kennedy. Well... I was a Republican at that time, and I stayed a Republican until the 1968 convention, which I happened to go to by accident because I was at my draft physical, and I stood in a riot, the riots of Chicago of 68, and listened to a lot of stuff and found out, hey, they were saying some real stuff.
Well, that
and
also
I switched at that point.
Well, that also figures into this change because Johnson got involved in Vietnam,
yes,
which turned a lot of people, you know, even though Johnson was a Democrat, it turned people against him. It turned his party against him to mm-hmm. where he did not run again. And also, there's a little known incident. Nixon, who was vice president under Eisenhower, had been friendly with Martin Luther King Jr. He had, as a matter of fact, helped him.
I didn't know that.
And Jack Kennedy was not a fan of Martin Luther King Jr.
He was not.
But King was jailed in a very public display during the election of Nixon and Kennedy. And Kennedy was able to get him out of jail purely politically. Purely politically. Yeah. And I think
his brother kind of forced
Bobby,
the issue.
Yeah. And I think that burned Nixon's behind on JFK, yes. But really burned it on Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King came out and said, well, Nixon didn't help me, JFK did. And Nixon saying, I've been helping you for years. You know, and I think that burned his rear end for the rest of his time.
Well, I'm not sure that we're ever going to get over this in anybody's lifetime. Greed and that type of thought process where if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you right back, that's just gone forever.
I think Nixon was being pragmatic. He was a Republican. He was running on the Republican time in 1960. He was trying to help King. But in that party, with Eisenhower as president at the time, you know, this is pre-Voting Rights Act, he was trying to abide by the laws. Mm-hmm. Well, the Kennedys didn't always play by the laws.
Either religious or legal.
So, you know, I think that would scorch you, because Nixon did support King.
It's kind of interesting. Every time I look back, you know, Kennedy has become bigger than life, and people always talk about how wonderful a human being he was and stuff like that. But I remember thinking back, maybe it was because I had a father who didn't like Kennedy, but I was never enamored with the gentleman. He was good looking, his wife was good looking, they spoke very intelligently, they had a lot of good things going for him, they had lots of money, and I guess that's why people fell for them. I think if he had been in office for another 4 years, four and a half years, whatever, history might not have been so kind.
Well, I'll tell you what I think made Kennedy. Number one was his age.
Getting killed made him.
Well,
he's a martyr.
It didn't hurt him.
Yeah, it hurt him.
But it didn't hurt his legacy. I mean, he's the last president to be assassinated up till this point. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But being young, being the youngest, that helped.
Good looking.
Cuban Missile Crisis helped, that we didn't get blown up.
Bay of Pigs did not.
Yeah, but the Bay of Pigs thing, Cuban Missile Crisis, people were on edge. People were
absolutely.
You don't get people weren't on edge.
You weren't alive then, were you?
No.
It was scary.
But you know, you learn that he was able to back channel with Khrushchev to get out of that. That was good for him. And also the fact that he had a great inaugural. Not what you can do for your country, but what your country can. I just said backwards, didn't I?
I've read that to my audience, and I was stunned at how unrememberable the first half of that speech was, but the second half of that speech was strong.
Well, he was also really the first good television president.
Yes, he was a great television.
So, I think, you know, the assassination certainly made him bigger in memory, but I think he would have went down big.
You think if he had gotten another 4 years, he would have?
Yeah, because he was, people liked the youngness, people liked his family.
Liked his brother.
People liked his brother, who would have clearly ran.
And a lot of people hated his brother.
Right, but a lot of people loved him.
Oh, they did.
I think that he was a symbol for them. I mean, Camelot was there before he was assassinated.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, so
Now and the African-American people loved, especially Bobby.
They love Kennedy's phoniness on that.
Yeah.
John Kennedy.
Yeah.
Sometimes he had to be drug along into those issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's funny because Johnson, his vice president, was not a good television president. He was not a particularly good speaker, but he got things.
What are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Johnson.
Yeah, no.
But he did get things done, I believe, that Kennedy couldn't have, like the Voting Rights Act and all that sort of thing.
He was a strong politician.
Well, he knew how to twist arms.
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly what I was talking about. And he would do it.
And
no problem.
Many times he did. Yeah. Which is also why you wonder, how could he have been so just he wasn't good at foreign affairs. He's really the only president in the 20th century who, and by his own admission, did not understand foreign... He didn't understand Vietnam. That was Kennedy's mess, and he hated it. You know he hated it.
And it really wasn't Kennedy's mess alone. I mean, it had come along for a long time. I remember when we were in Europe playing my folk trio, and the French wouldn't allow us to play on stage. It was because of the Bayeton King, and they thought all Americans were bad. So we played out on the streets and probably made more money playing on the streets than we would have made playing in the casinos. But that was an interesting time to be alive, because that's when the book Ugly American came out. And we were kind of ugly. Still are sometimes.
Well, there are presidents that got... it's not martyrized, but there are presidents whose popularity was probably a great byproduct of their personality or something. You know, Kennedy was the youngest. Mm-hmm. Obama was the first African American. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton had that in a way. He was the first, you know, kind of let me feel your pain. Presidents really didn't talk like that.
Biden's the oldest.
He's the oldest. But, Reagan being the oldest at that time.
Yeah.
He, first movie star president.
Yeah.
He knew where to stand and hit the marks.
Yeah, he hit his marks.
So I think people like Reagan and Clinton and Obama and Kennedy are in a way byproducts of their situation.
Well, even going back to Eisenhower, the general that took us out of World War II.
Well, that's why I tend to look at presidents who didn't have that as the great presidents. I think Franklin Roosevelt was a great president. He had a mess when he came in.
How about Truman?
You know, I don't know how yet I feel about Truman, because I still think the nuclear bombs, I think that's questionable.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
Whether you're a lib or you're a right-winger, I think everybody wonders what would have happened if we hadn't dropped the bomb and killed, I don't know what, a quarter of a million people both times? I don't know.
Well, it's funny because when I look at the 20th century and I run down who I think's great, people find it funny because it goes both sides. And it's people who they don't talk a whole lot about. I think Roosevelt was great. I think that Johnson was great, Lyndon Johnson. Vietnam was not great, but everything else he did was pretty good. I think that Nixon was great. I think Nixon understood that job better than anybody else. Watergate was not great.
If he wasn't so paranoid, I think he would be right now one of the better presidents.
He was very smart. Yeah. Understood foreign affairs very well.
But his paranoia took over.
It did. Ford, the bravery in the pardon, and now almost all scholars agree with what he did. And it did cost him. There's a politician who could have beat Jimmy Carter, but he knew the moment he pardoned Nixon, he probably was not going to win. So Ford I put in there. And here's an odd one, George H.W. Bush. I think George H.W. Bush really did things, again, kind of like Ford, when he said, read my lips, no new taxes. He could have fought that. He knew it was going to cost him re-election, but for the country, he did raise taxes.
Yeah.
So I give him a lot of credit.
I always give presidents who do things that are unpopular but the right thing for the country, I always give those some credit. Jimmy Carter, I think he did some things. He was a firm Christian believing person, and he stood up for those. When people would, you know, wonder about his, you know, his leadability, he led by the Bible. He did.
But I don't think Carter was a good president. I think...
Oh, no. He was just a good person.
I think he didn't... I don't think he understood how Washington worked.
I think you're right.
I don't think that... oddly enough, people, this will be another odd... I think... You know what? It's too current, but I think one of the things... I don't think Donald Trump knew how Washington worked.
He knew how Hollywood worked.
Well, I don't think he understood that you can't just do something. And I think Jimmy Carter, being an engineer, believed the same thing. I believe they believed they could just do it. And they can't. I don't think...
Well,
I think that was one of Obama's failings. Obama could not schmooze with people for some reason. He didn't go to the parties. He didn't... The only Democrat who really did that well... Well, Johnson did it well. Roosevelt did it well, and Clinton did it
Clinton
well.
Clinton did it very
Clinton
well.
Clinton did it very well. Yeah. The other ones, they just aren't good that way.
Well, Clinton had a wife that knew how to do that, too, so that helped.
But we didn't want her.
Well, I did. But
the country kind of said, no dice on that one.
Well, not the country, but a larger share of the country.
Right, but I just...
Actually, she won, by the way.
We'll leave that back in 2016. But it's just, you know, there are certain people who are schmoozers and certain people who are not.
Yeah.
And
I'm a schmoozer. You're kind of a schmoozer.
But to not be a schmoozer in Washington is very bad.
Yeah. And there are people that we know are not schmoozers, and that you kind of leave out a number of people if you're not a schmoozer, because there are people that like to be schmoozed.
Reagan was great at that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Reagan could do that. It just helps.
I think probably that Hollywood upbringing probably made him a better schmoozer, because that's how you got pictures made. And he wasn't a good actor.
No, not really.
I mean, he wasn't a bad one. He just wasn't a good
one. No, he wasn't one of the big ones.
Wasn't a great one, yeah.
But I wonder sometimes when I look at these people why people really like them. And Kennedy is one of those ones. I mean, I can cite why I think he's remembered well. But when I look at his presidency, the more you learn that Bobby Kennedy had to drag him into a lot of the decisions he made, and that Lyndon Johnson is the one who got a lot of the legislation passed that he couldn't, you wonder, you think, well, was he a good president? I don't know. He tried.
A lot of...
He had good people.
Yeah, he did. He had great people, yeah. A lot of people... Okay, talking about great people of that back in that era, what'd you think of Henry Kissinger?
You know what? I think people go too far with Henry Kissinger when they call him a war criminal.
That's way too far.
What they do about yeah. with Vietnam
yeah,
war
I understand.
Criminal, and I thought, oh, really? No, I think that Nixon surrounded himself with a very, very, very and Ford kept him.
I think he was brilliant.
Yeah,
but. He's kind of scary because he reminded everybody of Dr. Strangelove.
But he was, boy, I'll tell you, he could go to those other countries like Vietnam and he could talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could, Nixon was smart that way. He knew that he wasn't
he had good people around
like
him.
That.
Yeah.
And a lot of Obama's success. Look at who was with Obama.
Oh, my. He had
Biden, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Brzezinski.
Yeah.
He had a lot of really great people.
So, you know, you look at that and you say, oh, well, that helps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's really, I think, had I become successful at being a politician, I think all politicians, if they have a position where they have to make decisions like that, they need to get good people who are willing to say, you're wrong, boss. This is the way it should go. And then think about it. Maybe you'll go against them, or maybe you'll go with them, but you need to allow people to tell you you're wrong, boss.
Well, I think that Kennedy and Obama, I don't know so much Johnson, but Nixon, I think those three allowed it.
I think Johnson allowed it, but quietly in the back room while doing a lot of swear words.
I don't know if Robert Kennedy went to Johnson and said, Lyndon,
oh, no,
I
not
think
Robert
you're wrong.
Kennedy. No. Robert Kennedy wouldn't have gotten away with it.
They did not like each other.
No, they didn't.
But you know what's so funny about those two, as you look at history, they believed the same things.
And
they just didn't personally like each other.
They also kind of played off of each other. Good cop, bad cop type thing.
Well, there's been this myth that JFK was going to drop Lyndon Johnson off the thing. The truth be told, if you really talk to people who were around JFK at that time, and I've talked to a few of them, JFK liked Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson liked, I mean, they weren't buddies. They didn't go play tennis.
Yeah, well.
But they did. It was Bobby Kennedy who hated Johnson.
Bobby, yeah.
But Jackie and JFK, they didn't hate, and Lyndon didn't hate him.
Have you ever talked to Eleanor about, Clift, about that era?
Yeah,
our own Mary Ellen.
But I've also talked to Clint Hill, who was Jackie Kennedy's Secret Service agent.
Oh, yeah.
And also and Abraham Bolden, who worked with Kennedy. And they all said that that this was insanity, that it may have been brought up that Johnson was going to be dropped, but Kennedy would have never done it because they really didn't disagree with each other.
Uh-huh.
It was Bobby Kennedy who hated Lyndon Johnson.
That was pretty obvious. Yeah.
Yep.
And I always kind of felt sorry for Johnson. I don't know why. Well, I guess I do know why, because he was always getting criticized for lifting these puppy dogs up by their ears, but that's what they were used to. He was getting criticized because he was not a handsome man. He was a little overweight like I am, and he got a lot of criticism. And Vietnam was not really his. It was something that was willed to him. And I don't know.
We're getting a call here. Let's see what this is all about. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Chip. How you doing?
Good.
It's been a while since I heard from you. How's life going?
Good.
Now, when's your birthday, Chip?
2 weeks from Wednesday.
2 weeks from Wednesday, and you'll be the big 4-0?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It's not too bad.
Do you got a big party plan, Chip?
We'll go out with eight.
Sounds good. You going any place special?
Hong Kong buffet.
Hong Kong buffet.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, I tell you, you and Terry Tackett could be a pair.
Terry doing?
You know, I haven't seen Terry for a while. He'll be here Thursday night.
Thursday night.
How's work going?
Good.
Is there anything you want for your birthday, Chip?
A birthday card and money.
Oh, birthday card and money.
Yeah.
Those are always go well
good,
together.
Good. So how you feeling, Chip? Did you move?
Not yet? No.
Are you getting rides to work or are you walking?
Rides.
Oh, you're getting rides. Good.
It's been raining a lot. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Anything new, Chip?
No.
Well, I'm glad you called in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's call in anytime, Chip.
Okay, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Remember, go to Kroger South and wish Chip a happy 40th birthday. Coming
in two
up
weeks.
Here. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So go say hello. But one of the most, Helen Thomas also told me stories about Johnson and Nixon, or Johnson and Kennedy. But one of the most interesting stories she ever told me was the day that Nixon was going to give the resignation talk.
Yep.
Nobody really knew it. I mean, there was some suspect that was going to happen, but nobody knew it. And I guess she was late because, you know, there was all this hubbub going on, and she's at the White House.
Sure.
And she was running, because he gave that speech from the Oval Office.
Yes,
he did.
He
would resign. And she was running back, I think, to the press club to watch the speech. So she's leaving the White House, and Nixon, I guess, had not been at the White House. He's coming back. So they run into each other. And I'm sure there were Secret Service and people, but Helen said, Helen kind of knew what he was going there to do, so she turned to him and said, is there anything I can do for you, Mr. President? And he said, pray for me.
Yeah, you know, I think I've heard that before.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I believe he probably believed that.
Oh, I think he did, too.
I think he was a Christian at heart.
Yeah. Well, I think that whole Watergate thing was his paranoia. I've never seen any evidence that he ordered it. He covered it up.
Yeah, he did cover it
but
up.
But I never, to this day, I've never seen the evidence that he ordered it.
And you know, quite often, I truly believe this, powerful men sometimes tacitly give approval to things without really knowing that they're giving approval. You know, they get around them people that are very power-oriented, and they think, well, if I do this for President Nixon, I'll get ahead. And they go ahead and do something like that. I think that might have been what happened.
And it's awful, too, because even if he, in the beginning, would have come out and said, I have been made aware of this, he would not have had to resign.
No. If he had said, I didn't order this, but I have been made aware of this, and I think it's wrong, he would have.
The smoking gun tape is just him saying, you know, let's get the money out of here.
Yep.
Why? You know, I tell you, if there was one, the biggest question ever that I never heard asked to Nixon should have been, in 1972, the Democrats had about as much chance of winning that election against you as a spaceship falling in somebody's backyard. Why?
Don't be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, but why? Why would you... Why would anybody in the Republican Party have been in that? You were immensely popular. You ended up winning something like 48 seats.
Yes. Yeah. The previous election, he stomped the ground. Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah, I have no idea. And therefore, that's a good evidence. Good evidence that he really wasn't aware of.
No.
Totally, what was going on.
If it was a close election, I can understand it. But it was nothing.
Yeah.
And they also, the odd thing about that is, but they always asked him, do you wish you'd burn the tapes? Well, that's another good question. You know, why didn't he? You know, most people would have.
I think he might have forgotten that they were there. They were put in by Secret Service, I believe.
And well, Johnson had put it in.
Yeah.
And Johnson, when he left, I guess one of the bits of advice he gave to Nixon was, I think you should leave this in there.
Oh, well, whoops.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
Or at least turn it off.
Well, you know, the whole thing about it is that when that Watergate, and again, I'm not saying this is how you commit a crime, but he should have at that moment burned the tapes. I don't know why he didn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't evidence then. It was. He's the only one who knew about it. Butterfield had not testified yet. Why didn't you burn him then?
I've often wondered why some of these guys like that didn't do something like that. Because you know darn well that if Trump had said something that was going to get him to lose his position, he would have burned the tapes. Yeah, they would have been long gone.
Well, but you know what? I think about it with Trump, though. Like that call he made to the Georgia. He knew that was being recorded.
Yeah, that was really stupid. Yeah.
Well, but is it? I mean, I don't know. We could say Nixon was stupid for not burning the tapes. I don't know.
Did you listen to that?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying. But look at the tapes. Nixon on the tape is saying,
yeah.
Here, get hush money.
Well, that was dumb.
Right, but why? Why would
you do it
that way?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm not sure. Maybe both of those people we're talking about had such an ego that they believed that that America would forgive them of anything that they had to do in the leading of the nation.
Honestly, if you're Nick, because the Trump thing didn't result in a crime, but in Nixon's case,
well, it may have.
But in Nixon's case, when Butterfield, okay, you're watching the thing, and Butterfield says, "Yes, there's a record." Do you burn the tapes right then?
Well, if you do, then you would be creating, you would be covering up evidence, and that would be a crime.
Yeah, but what could they really get you on?
Absolutely nothing. That's why Trump got away with so much stuff, because you're not going to get... Who cares?
So why didn't Nixon do it?
Because he made a mistake.
Because at that moment, they're not subpoenaed. They're not evidence.
He knew it before
He knew
testimony.
They were being recorded.
He should have done it a long time before that.
That is to me, and that's what they always asked him, and his answer, which I thought was interesting, was that they were private conversations not meant for public consumption. You know what? In honestly, in reality, I know the Supreme Court wasn't with him on this one, but I kind of do agree with him. I don't understand why that was brought into evidence.
Why was it taped if they were going to be private?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, that's why I say I don't know how the Supreme Court came to their ruling that he did need to turn over the tapes, because they weren't public. They shouldn't have been public consumption.
No, they probably shouldn't. Oh, and I think that's what a lot of people criticize him for, all the bad language that's on those. That's the way a lot of guys talk when they're private.
Well, what about, I mean, his whole bit in that got him in such trouble was saying that, you know, hey, can we get some money to do this? Can we do this? But you know what? We don't even know if any of that was ever done. All we know is that he knew,
yep.
And he said he didn't know.
And he said, I know where we can get $1 million.
Right, I know where we can get $1 million. But is that... I think sometimes, you know, we invade... We're supposed to have a constitution that gives you some privacies. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of them.
Yeah, and he should have been allowed to... I don't know. The older I get, the less I think our Supreme Court is capable of being a Supreme Court.
Well, what would they have done, though? I mean, let's say when he knew the Supreme Court was going to rule, let's say he would have erased them.
Yeah.
How could they have approved anything? Now, they could have got him for destroying evidence, but yeah. I don't think they would have thrown him out of office for that.
No. No, and they probably wouldn't have done anything till he got out of office, and at that point, that's minor.
Well, and also, you know, they criticize his poor little old secretary, because remember, there's a little bit of tape missing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, if Nixon was really ordering people to erase tapes, he certainly would have had them erase that tape.
Yes,
that
he
got
would
him
have. Yeah.
Shot. I think she really did just accidentally
hit the re-erase button.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened to me. I have several calls from people that I thought were going to tell me to do something that I thought was wrong that I have taped. And in the state of Ohio at the time I taped them, it was against the law to tape them,
yeah.
By the way. But I have also, by accident, erased a few of them. I still have some of them.
Well, I mean, I just... why wouldn't you have... If you're going to erase tapes, if you're having your secretary do it, why wouldn't you have her erase that?
Do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he didn't.
Yeah.
So I do think she got... People just were after Nixon at that point, and...
What was her name? Was it Kennedy?
Something like, poor old lady.
Yeah.
You know, she got the heat.
Yeah.
But even she did. She went under oath, I think, and said that he did not tell her to do that.
Yeah.
Why would she lie? Why would she put herself in that kind of jeopardy?
Well, you know, I have no idea the answer to that, because there are people that will lie after the fact, even though they're lying for somebody else.
But people, it's always funny to me when something like that happens. They act like the White House runs like a McDonald's. Like Nixon just comes out of his office and says, hey, Betty, run the eraser on that tape. Nixon he's not doing it. There are about 18 people in between him and his secretary that would have to fly through.
Well, not only that, but I really think that they just assumed that was the it was just business as usual. I don't think they really thought about those tapes.
Well, I'll tell you what really sways me, and I know a lot of people will feel, because it did eventually prove that he had committed a crime, but why I think those are private is because on those tapes, before he ever knew they'd be released, he said nasty things about people, mm-hmm. by name.
Mm-hmm.
You know those were not for public consumption.
Oh, absolutely not, yeah.
But they did it.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it was a little shady on the Supreme Court's behalf.
Well, I don't have nearly the... When I was a kid, I thought the Supreme Court was the best thing since sliced bread. Now I don't have a whole lot of confidence that they've made all the right decisions. I think they've made a lot of good ones, but in that time, they were kind of... they were under a lot of political pressure, too.
Well, I don't know. You know, it just to me is, and Nixon could have been a lot worse. He didn't have to resign.
No, he didn't. I was surprised when he did. And I think a lot of people were surprised when he did.
But you know what's great? And he's a story, and I often think about this when I think of Judge Warner, and I think of people who've went through some bad stuff. Nixon is the poster child for a guy who went through a horribly demoralizing thing. But you know what? Every president after him, Republican and Democrat, all called on him for advice.
Did they really?
Every single one. Clinton, okay. Bush.
Trump?
He was dead by then.
Oh, yeah, of course he was.
Dead by then.
Right.
But everyone, Ford, Carter, and they all had him to the White House, Reagan. He was always invited to the library openings. He just, you know, I think he did redeem himself. He'll always be known for Watergate,
yeah.
But they still called on him.
Huh,
they understood him.
I didn't realize that they had all called on him after the fact. But
yeah.
That was an interesting era to be alive. And when I look back on it, it was larger than life. The things that were going on, you know, we thought, well, those of us who were liberals thought when Trump was in office, that was all larger than life. But I remember back thinking, oh my gosh, those were huge times. Now, the thing that Trump did is he just ignored facts, and that's what made his thing the problem. But I would have a hard time saying that his presidency was worse than Nixon's.
Well, Hoover. I mean, if we're talking about...
I haven't followed Hoover very much.
But I just think if you're saying affecting people home to home to home, Hoover's got to be up there as one of the worst.
He was not very good he didn't have empathy for the American people very much.
Yeah,
especially the poor Americans.
That's why I love reading about him, because I... You know, this has nothing to do with his presidency, but I guess when he was like 80, somewhere close to the end of his life, 88 or 89 or something. By the way, fascinating about Hoover, he went and lived in a hotel in New York.
He did?
That's what he did in his later years.
That's what I'd like to do in my later years.
But I mean, isn't that interesting? He didn't want to go back to Washington. He didn't want to live in a big house somewhere.
Get room service all the time.
Well, I think he just liked being around people.
Yeah.
Because he, I guess, I don't know who she was, probably an aide or something, but said to Hoover, right before he was still well enough, but close to 90, and said to him something like, or he said to her, you know, what do you still want to learn? What do you still want to know about? And she said, well, you know, I pretty much know about everything that I want to know. And he said, how can you I still want to know everything about everybody. So I think he was a much more empathetic person than people think. I think he just his belief,
show it.
Well, I think in his core he believed that people would help each other. That I think he believed that's why government shouldn't intervene, is because people should help each other. And I think he believed that till he died.
Well, and that's why I was kind of a Republican thinking the same thing. I really thought people would help each other. I really believed in people, empathy for other people, other Americans. I thought that it was important for one American to help another American. And then I found Vietnam came along, and Nixon came along, and lots of things came along, and I found out that that's not true.
Well, you know what's funny, though? You look at Herbert Hoover, had a great long life. Regarded as one of the worst presidents. Franklin Roosevelt had a very short life, regarded as one of the best presidents, was a philanderer, died with his mistress, was kind of a dirty politician. I mean, he attacked people when, you know, nobody ever went after his polio.
Yeah.
But he went after people's personal dealings.
Yeah.
He stayed in the office on an agreement that George Washington had made longer than he should have.
Yep.
He met with Truman one time. He met with his vice president one time during Truman being picked. I think he was not as moral a man as Herbert Hoover, but he had been a president.
Yeah, there were, my grandfather and grandmother, who were devout Republicans, hated him.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
did. They lived through his time. And, you know, the world, for some reason or other, the term socialism was very stout at that time, and he was a socialist. Social Security and all the things that he projected were socialism, and they didn't like that.
Wonder if he would have ever left the job. That's what I mean, he really...
Wow.
He really...
I think he died the way he wanted to die, in the job.
Yeah, but that does say something about him. There's only one guy who did... Now he
power?
Well, he can say it's because the war was going on, and he can say...
That's true. It was?
Yeah, but you know, there was a lot of wars that went on prior to him, and nobody ever did that. And a matter of fact, they had to put it in writing after him to make sure nobody ever did it again.
You know, I wonder, did George Washington actually put that into a codified...
No, but I think he said it, because they wanted him to be president for life, and Washington said no, two's enough. And yeah. I think everybody thereafter.
Yeah, I heard that in the opera that they did about.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was in the that was in the made-for-TV movie about George Washington. I do think that's probably true. I think he probably, because why would you leave after two terms if they wanted you there for life?
Yeah.
I think he just thought that's what it should be.
I don't think he'd stay for life.
Roosevelt?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he liked that job.
I think he liked the job.
I think Clinton and Reagan would have stayed for life.
I think they would have stayed longer.
Yeah, they liked it too. But it was just weird times. And you also look at the people Roosevelt turned on. His own wife didn't like him.
He wasn't very nice to her.
No, and there were people. Oh, who was the guy? Really quick, we got a minute and a half left. Who was the Catholic man? First Catholic who ran for president.
Well, I thought that was Kennedy.
No, he didn't win. Oh. He ran against Hoover. It was he was a Democrat.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, Al Smith, is that it?
Could be Al Smith. He did run for.
But Hoover was, or Roosevelt was. He helped Roosevelt get the governorship of New York, and then ended up they hated each other.
Really?
Yep. So there you go. That show. It was an interesting show today.
Yeah, I
hope so. Talk to Dr. Feynman about.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now, going, "Oh, those guys are all wrong.
Are all wrong. We're out of here."
And the only reason I wrote the book because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing. Boy, does he have a good book.
Thank
you. And I love you and I thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
First Lady of Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
Well, now, Phyllis, I saw you on Biography doing a ghost story. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, for the money they gave me, I did temporarily.